When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 474. Special guest, recurring guest, good friend of mine in the show, joining me tonight because Toby's not here. But so I go to the bullpen to get some big hitters on this one. You know, you might know him from Sleeper in the Bust. You might know him from Friends with Fantasy Benefits, Fangraphs, maybe the guy that created TGFBI. I don't know, just a few things. He's on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Justin, how you doing, my friend?
It's Bubba in the Beard.
Yes, Bubba and the Beard. There we go.
There
I like
go,
it.
Go, baby. I've been waiting for this. You added Bloomfield to the roster. I'm like, wait, where is my full-time gig?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. You know, well, you're just as busy as I am, so it's hard to sneak us in the schedule together.
This is true. Yeah.
But before we get rocking and rolling, let everybody know what you got going on besides like everything.
Oh man, you know, it's baseball time, right? So Sleeper in the Bus, TGFBI podcast, the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcast. I write daily over at Fangraphs. And that's actually about it. I've kind of cut back a little bit this year and haven't been recording as much of the TGFBI episode and blew off Friends of Fantasy Benefits to be here tonight and chat with you. So, Dave, this is Dave's notice. I didn't even tell Dave. I just said a rundown. Yeah, so... Oh.
You're the man. You're the man. I appreciate it. Because, you know, for a guy that does a lot of podcasts, like, you know how this goes. It's so much easier to be a guest. So much easier to be a guest. So,
yeah.
I could trade that one for you in 2 seconds as well. But as usual, we'll go over some recent news tonight. We'll talk about the week that was in Fab. I can't wait to get Justin's Nolan Gorman comments because we heard about it. If you listen to Sunday Sleeper in the Bust, and we know if you watched his Twitter, he got a few shares. So I'm looking forward to chatting that up with him as well. But let's get the recent news. Let's get the gloom out of the way before we talk about the good stuff here. And this one stings because I was high on Freddie Peralta. If I kind of punted pitching, I was looking for Freddie early on, and he started to get it going. Now he's got a right shoulder that revealed a posterior shoulder strain, and the council said he's going to miss significant time. So this, like, still no official timetable, but I'd say at least 6 to 8 weeks, maybe more, if they're saying significant. How are you approaching this, Justin? Because, you know, like an NFBC, that's a long time to hold a dude.
I don't know that you can hold him in NFBC. I mean, obviously, you give it at least a week. You know, Fab's already passed for this week, so you're going to have to make a decision next week. I want to say this is the same injury that Clevinger had prior to the Tommy John, right? That he missed.
You might be right.
Yeah, and he missed like 2 months. So if you can hold someone for 2 months, obviously, I mean, he's a stud. And like you said, he was really starting to turn it around. I don't have him anywhere this year, and not because I didn't like him. I actually really liked him a lot. I just got jumped in every single league. And so, I mean, a little lucky for me, but I just don't know that you can hold on to a guy that's going to be out for 2 months if you don't have IL spots. You know, there's a realistic chance that he doesn't even make it back, right? You know, any sort of re-injury, the Brewers, you know, I think will be somewhat conservative with him to hopefully try to get him back for October, because they're a team with a design, or, you know, the eyes towards winning. So like, there's a realistic chance he might not be back till September, if at all.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern, is they can slow play this. We've seen them use him in the past and other guys as like openers or long men after the opener, and they could easily do that with him, because even if he's, you know, he might miss 2 months, he still has to ramp back up and get back the longevity. So in reality, it could be like 3 months before you get the real Freddy Peralta, and that's if. So it's tough, because, yeah, what were you going to say?
They're deep in that rotation, yeah. Right? Like, they have Ashby and Hauser, and, like, you know, Eric Lauer has been amazing. So, like, they have options to go to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next is, so Ashby, like, we'll get to him. He's actually one of the more popular pickups this week for, I believe, obvious reasons. But has a guy like Adrian Hauser now become more viable to you? He's been like an up-and-down guy. You know, strikeouts have been iffy from time to time. I always think Aaron Civale when I think Adrian Hauser, for some reason. It just kind of blends together. But you have any interest in a guy like Adrian Hauser?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Adrian Hauser. Got him on a number of DC teams this year. I was worried about the role because there was so much hype around Ashby. So I didn't get him in a lot of later leagues. But guy who can get a lot of ground balls, which helps him limit damage. And, you know, he's no slouch in the strikeout department. He's never going to be like an elite strikeout guy. But it's a great division to pitch in. Like, you know, when you get to go up against what the Cubs are rolling out there every day and what the Pirates roll out there every day, you know, it's just a, you know, what the Reds are doing right now. Mm-hmm. It's just a great division to pitch in. So like any Brewers pitcher is a pretty good option. Any Cardinals pitcher is a pretty good option. So, yeah, I mean, Hauser, I think, you know, if he's available in your league, I think he's now set in that rotation moving forward. At least until Peralta comes back. So, and I think same with Ashby.
Yeah, Hauser so far before tonight start 3.22 ERA, 3.15 FIP, and he's got six or more Ks in three of his last four starts. So, showing some life there, which is, it was good to see, as you mentioned. Let's head on to Detroit now, a dude that everyone knows I liked a lot, and you know, Mr. Mouth. Sorry, not sorry, but Eduardo Rodriguez was a guy that I liked a lot, and I didn't even jump in the conversations because I didn't need to. You guys all handled that one just fine. He actually had really solid numbers before the injury outing. Like, if you were mad about those numbers, I hate to break it to you. You just have some really weird expectations. But he's out with a rib cage injury. So this will be interesting. Left rib cage sprain. I wouldn't know how to sprain anything in my midsection, but he did. And we'll have to see when he comes back. But what are you doing with a guy like E-Rod?
I think you got to hold on to him for right now. I mean, the Tigers sound like they're pretty optimistic they're going to get him back. Typically, side injuries, oblique injuries take 4 to 6 weeks. And you want to be really careful with those. So I think there is a chance that he misses like a month worth of time. But I would try to hold on him. I mean, I could understand like in 10s and 12s wanting to move on. And I think if your team is in peril in terms of other IL guys, I think it's defensible to drop him in a 10 or a 12. But like at a 15, I don't think you can move on for him, because I don't think he's going to be out an extremely long period of time.
Yeah, I'm going to try to hold him as long as I can in my OCs, but he might have to hit the chopping block just because of how it goes. But something you mentioned there, the concerning part of those kind of midsection, oblique, rib cage type injuries are so easy to come. If you come back too soon, it just messes up. So something to monitor with him for sure. Hopefully they take their time. It is Detroit. Like, let's be real. How much do they really have to gain by rushing him back? But we shall see. Steven Matz lasted four pitches in his start on Sunday. Supposed to go undergo an MRI on Monday. I'm looking. I have not seen any results yet. We'll see if what's going on with that. But not the greatest thing when you only throw four pitches, Justin. So I wasn't a big Steven Matz guy to begin with. I get it. I understand the love, especially in 15-teamers. But I didn't have any shares. What's your thoughts on the Steven Matz situation?
Oh, I had all the shares for both of us, buddy. I dropped him in the majority of the leagues I had him where I couldn't IL him. This fab, like, yeah, he left after four pitches. I don't know exactly what's wrong, but he wasn't good before the injury. So like, yes, the underlying numbers were better than what the surface numbers said, but ultimately, like, you just can't keep a guy, you stash a guy that's bad. And so I think it makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I dropped him in 15 team leagues, so it wasn't even like, you know, oh, you know, a deeper league I'm holding. No, I'm mostly playing deeper leagues. And so when I'm dropping guys, you should probably be dropping him in 10s and 12s. I love him coming in the year. I felt like St. Louis was a perfect fit for him. It's fantastic defense behind him. A great park to pitch in. Again, that division, you get to go against so many bottom feeder teams. But he just gives up too much contact, and too much of it's hard contact, and unfortunately. So I think if he does come back, he probably will be better than he was. But I think you get him off the waiver wire. You don't hold on to him right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, there's, you mentioned all the upside parts to it, like the good appeals to it. That's why, like, somehow Miles Mikolas is striking guys out this year. It blows my mind. So, like, if Mats could figure out whatever recipe that was in St. Louis, that'd be great. But for now, I'm with you. You got to kind of move on and see where things go. San Diego Padres' Mike Clevinger made 3 starts after coming back from Tommy John surgery. Now he's back on the IL with a right tricep strain. I'm not liking the sound of that after a guy coming off TJ. Like, that's not good. But the bright side, Mackenzie Gore, looks like he's locked in for now. That's a positive. But twofold here. What do you do on Clevinger? Because he seems like a drop for me. And what's your thoughts on Gore going forward?
I want to get some more information before I drop Clevinger, and hopefully we'll have that before the weekend and in Fab runs. I wasn't in on him anywhere. I did not buy in on any of the TJ returnee guys. I was trying to stay as risk averse as possible. And this is one of the reasons why. Like, just because a guy recovered from a surgery like that doesn't mean, like, Clevinger has had multiple injury issues throughout his career. Like, this isn't just a one-off, one-time thing. So, it's unfortunate. I think if you got him at the price you got him at, you should probably hold for a minute just to see what the timetable is. But if it's going to be anything longer than a month, and again, the Padres are another team deep in the rotation, right? They've got Mackenzie Gore. They started Nick Martinez tonight. Like, they've got plenty of options. You know, Blake Snell's back. So, they can take their time with him, but just hopefully wait for a timetable. And then if it's anything longer than a month, yeah, I'm probably cutting.
Yeah, I wasn't really in on him either. I was kind of shocked at the early return to me. It was a full year, so I guess it wasn't that early, but I was a little surprised there. And I love Gore, so I'm a big fan of the opening for him in this one. He's been awesome so far this season. Good story to top it off. But we'll see with Clev. I think even if he comes back, they might have to, like, tread lightly with that one. That one's going to take – I think we don't see a good Clevinger until next season, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Last one here. This hits close to home for us, Justin. Brandon Belt out with right knee inflammation. Got a cortisone shot. Shouldn't miss too much time. But the concerning part here, he always has a hard time staying healthy. Like, usually it's like a hit by pitch, some kind of fluky thing, but he gets hurt a lot. And this knee's been bugging him all since spring training. Like, it seems like it's going to be an issue a lot this year. You're not dropping him per se, but it's going to be a lingering situation, I think, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what you get with Brandon Belt, right? Dude cannot stay on the field. And in spite of the fact that, like, he was actually really affordable, probably more affordable than he should have been, I didn't touch him in any leagues just because I don't want to deal with his headache. Because on top of the fact that he has pretty much never stayed healthy his entire career, the Giants are super platoon happy. You look at the lineup they're running out tonight against David Peterson and the Mets, you know, lefty there, you know, Kevin Paldo's playing first base, yep, and like Darren Ruff, and like they don't care. Like, there's like maybe 2 guys who play full time, you know, Crawford and Yes, like, that's it. Everybody else is platoonable, including Brandon Belt. So I know they said it's a minimum stay. So if you drafted him, you're probably holding on to him, but this is going to continue to be a headache all season long, just because that's what the Giants do.
Yep. And that was one of my concerns. I remember in the preseason, I was writing articles on, like, the groups of first baseman, like the Votto, Bell, Krohn group. And, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 rounds later, you had the Belt group with Schwindel and all these guys. And those are kind of your pockets of first base targets. And when I put polls out about that second pocket, it was like Belt overwhelmingly. People wanted Brandon Belt. And I'm like, guys, I'm a Giants fan. And I'm telling you, he's going to miss time, a good chunk of time. It's what he does. Like you said, it's the way it is. So it's a headache. And it's a headache I didn't want to deal with. That's all I know. But
unless you have unlimited IL spots,
yeah, like, for sure. I mean,
like Tower Wars, we have unlimited aisles.
And he gets an OBP league, then heck yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But anywhere else, man, it's just so hard to roster a guy that, like, yes, he was amazing last year, but he played 90 games.
Yep.
Are we really expecting him to be that amazing if he only plays 90 games again? Because I'm not. Like, that's
no.
So, like, I just stay away from those guys.
Yep. I'm with you. All right. Let's talk about some most added players in the NFBC on the online championships. 12 teamers, kind of more relatable to most players out there. 12 team formats. Talk about how often they were picked up, prices for fun, and thoughts on the outlook of these players going forward. We'll kick it off with the big one of the week, Justin's favorite as well, Nolan Gorman, at an 193 leagues, 99% sure, that's all of them, folks, as high as 557. Somehow, this is why I love doing this, Justin, someone got him for $27. He went as low as $27. What? Yeah, his low.
That's insane.
Usually there's always a low of $1, so the fact that the lowest was 27 is actually telling. It's like, the OCs are nuts, man. I love doing this for this reason alone, but as high as 557, as low as 27. Tonight, he went 0 for 4, but so far he's 5 for 16 with two doubles, hitting 385, four runs scored, only two strikeouts, which I think is pretty darn solid after what we saw in the minors. It's early, but that's pretty promising at least. But I know you're a Gorman guy. The floor is yours, my friend.
I mean, I'm not a – yeah, I am a Gorman guy. Yeah,
you are now.
Yeah, for sure. So I got him in – he was available in five of my Fab leagues last night, and I got him in four, and I was aggressive. I did not think I would get him in as many leagues as I did. I really thought other people would be more aggressive. And in like the tag team league with Shelly, like originally I was like, should we put more than 300 on him? And she was like, no, I don't think people are going to be as aggressive as maybe you think they are. So we dropped them and still dropped it like 267, still got them. And that's a 15 team league. I'm surprised people weren't more aggressive. Like, how many more prospects are we expecting to come up and be real impact, you know, players at this stage? There is a ton of risk. And I think that may have scared some people off. I mean, like you said, he struck out like a, you know, 35% clip or something like that in AAA this year. He also hit 15 home runs in 34 games. Like, he has unreal power. He's got a little bit of speed to go with that. The Cardinals seem like they are committed to him. And they're batting up really high up in the lineup right now. I like him a lot, but there's Josh Lowian risk, as I said, on the sleep on the bus, this last weekend. You know, Josh Lowe was everybody's favorite, like, oh, we got to go get him first week of Feb. People spent, you know, in one of my main event leagues, like someone spent $555 on Josh Lowe. And they might as well have just lit that on fire. So, like, yeah. I could be lighting a lot of money in a lot of different leagues on fire right now with Gorman if he does strike out at a exorbitant amount. But I think it's a real good gamble. It's a good team. They really seem to really like him. I think you got to take some gambles. And I'd rather take him a little bit early and hope that it carries me through the rest of the way.
Yeah, I don't hate it, because as long as you have, like, validity to it, because I even – tweeted out today. I said, you guys remember when, like, the first Fab week, everyone spent all their money on Stephen Kwan? That worked out well. And it happens. You got to take your chances, but you got to kind of pick your chances. And, like, Gorman's the pedigree and what we've seen. And with the fact the Cardinals said they called him up to play him regularly, they moved Edwin to shortstop. That's kind of telling to me. Now, anything can happen. That strikeout rate's scary. Like, the Lowian comment is pretty solid there. But like you said, you got to take your chances somewhere. Everyone, you're going to take at least one of those a year on somebody. You might as well take it early, like you said, because when you save it for later, the guys go cheaper anyway. So what are you doing here? I like the chance, especially on a good team like the Cardinals. Like, that's a very key part there. They're not just going to bring him up to toy with them. So I think that's a very, very interesting part as well. Before we get to the next guy here, on that same kind of note, you're talking about prospects coming back up or whatnot this year. Royce Lewis got sent back down, and I was nervous about that when he first got called up. I talked about it on the show when I was like, I wasn't super aggressive on him because, like, you know, Correa's only out 10 days, like all this stuff. They sent him back down. He played great. He's playing great in AAA. He was available in a lot of Fab leagues last week, and I got him for like $20 and stuff. And he got me a couple home runs, which was great. I haven't dropped him yet, so I think he'll be back sooner than later if Miranda keeps struggling. What's your thoughts on Royce Lewis, though? Because I can only hold him for so long, but I know he's going to come up again, and it's going to cost a fortune at that point in time.
I honestly don't get the move. Like, I mean, yes, they got Correa back. They also got Trevor Larnach back. But what does Royce Lewis have to prove?
Nothing.
In the minor leagues at this point.
That's why I was confused with the Correa signing altogether. Like, how they could have spent their money on somebody.
Well, I mean, like, I get, like, you're adding a real impact bat. It's not a long-term commitment, which is nice. True. You know, a team like Minnesota, they have the money, obviously. They showed they have the money, right? But yeah. They don't feel like they've got the ability to, like, give a guy a 7 or 10 year deal or something like that. So, like, I get that. But, like, how is Royce Lewis not as good as anybody they have playing a corner outfield spot right now?
Yeah, I agree.
And that includes Alex Kirilloff, who's a former top prospect.
Larnack.
Yeah, Larnack. I love Max Kepler. I'm a big Max Kepler guy. But, like, come on. Max Kepler is the reason Royce Lewis isn't playing right now. I think he will be back up here at some point. It's hard to hold because you know he's got to go down for 10 days unless there's an injury.
Yep.
And I don't know when. Like, I mean, it doesn't make any sense now. So trying to rationalize out, oh, well, he'll be back up in June, you know, second week of June. Like, there's no rational reason why they sent a guy like him. Now, they're in a playoff race. They spent money this offseason to make a push for the playoffs. Royce Lewis makes their team better. He should be on the team. So I'm not going to try to figure out what the hell they're doing because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I just want to get your thoughts on it, too, because – When it first came up, I'm like, oh, he's not staying for long. I get it. But then he was productive, and Miranda hasn't been. And I'm just confused on what they're doing there altogether. But, we'll have to wait and see. I'm going to try to hold him as long as I can. But like you said, it's tough. It's real tough to keep holding that roster spot. The Kansas City Royals recalled Brady Singer. This guy was big on coming into the season, and like especially DCs. I thought there was a lot to like here with Brady Singer. Didn't start out great this year. Pretty obvious. Got sent back down to AAA, but he's come back up, and the pitch mix is different, folks. We talk about it like in the preseason with velocity and pitch mix. You talk about it early in the season trying to find that kind of hidden gem, and it was only 2 starts. I'll be totally honest, but it's Chicago and Minnesota, White Sox and Minnesota, 7 shutout, 4 hits in both, 3 Ks against Minnesota, 9 versus Chicago. It's only 2 starts. A lot can change, but the fact he's throwing his slider nearly as much as his sinker, and he raised his changeup, that's just huge. Because looking at his numbers last year, he was like a 60% sinker guy. Justin, we all know how bad that can be if you're not locating your sinker. So promising. I got him in a few leagues this week. Didn't break the bank by any means, but I like what we saw. Just hoping we can see more going forward. What's your thoughts on Brady Singer?
I like him a lot. I was a big Brady Singer guy kind of last year, and then coming into the season, I got him in late in some DCs. Unfortunately, I didn't get him in like any of my big money leagues, he was impressive, and you're right. It's all about that pitch mix change. I think he has the ability to kind of – like, he's never going to be a star. Like, this isn't a guy who's, like, turn out to be, like, an SP2 or anything like that. But I think he could be a legitimate, like, SP, lower-end SP3, SP4 kind of guy in fantasy. He pitches in a really great ballpark. Again, this is a really good division, especially with all the injuries – that the White Sox have faced this year, and you know how bad some of the other lineups in that division look. You know, unfortunately, he doesn't get to throw against his own team, but I think Singer. I saw some pushback from some people in the industry, or not in the industry, but in the industry. I think Rob Silver is one of them, and I was like, I don't get why. Like, people are like, well, look at the projections, like. Who cares what the projections say? He made a substantial change that the projections the projections can't pick up on yet.
Yeah.
And I think this is the important part of why it's important to one watch games, and it's important to dig into individual performances, right? Like, yes, projections are important. I use projections probably just as much as everybody else does, but projections can only capture kind of an average, really.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's usually an average from before, not what they've done now. So it's totally different. Yeah.
So, and this is a former like top prospect in their organization. I wouldn't say it was top prospect in baseball, but we hear it all the time, right? Prospect growth isn't linear. Like, he has made changes. He has gotten better. Do we want to completely buy in and say, oh, he's a stud? No, absolutely not. But like, there's reasons to be hopeful. Like, when you're picking up guys like Zach Davies, Zach Logue, or, guys like that off the waiver wire, like, I'd much rather take a shot on a guy with some pedigree and showing some real changes in Brady Singer than, you know, maybe guys like that.
100% agree. I think that's a great point. And yeah, the projections thing, I saw that from Rob, and Rob's a genius. People like
this guy. I love Rob.
Yeah, Rob's amazing. So yeah. And like, I'll never forget just listening to him talk at FPAS, the panel you were hosting there at the ballpark. Like, he just, it was awesome. It was great. Mm-hmm. And he's a very, very, very bright man. I was kind of confused by that too, because projections, I usually enjoy more for hitters, because you can kind of see what's going on there. Where pitchers, like you said, they're not projecting this change. They have no idea what he's done in this change, because it's almost like Phil Dussault. It's a robot at that point in time. So we don't really have the whole picture there. So we'll wait and see. It could be a bust, but I like the changes. I love seeing a young pitcher tweaking things like that, and we'll see where that continues to go. And for those that are keeping track at home, I forgot to mention, he was picked up in 141 leagues, as high as 161, as low as $1. Martin Perez was the third most added player in OCs this last week. Yes, this is 2022, folks. 2022. Martin Perez, 114 leagues, $91 max, $1 minimum. Good for you. Coming off a shutout against the Houston Astros in Houston, Justin. He's allowed one earned run or less in six straight starts. Like, really, what in Sam's Hill is going on with Martin? And I'll be honest, I grabbed him in a few leagues for like $4. I'm like, screw it, I need a pitcher this week. I'll roll with him. I'm not gonna spend a ton of money on it, but he was like the seventh pick in my options. But I'm like, $4. I need a guy. I all the IL guys in the world. I'm not warm and fuzzy about it. But what's your thoughts on Martin Perez?
Oh man, this one is like this. There are certain ones that guys like have like really great seasons, and it just burns, right? You're like, oh man, I should have known, or should have. Like, this one warms my heart because I was a huge Martin Perez fan, like when he was young, right? When he was a rookie, like I really thought he was going to be a legit ace, you know, when he was kind of coming up through the minor leagues, and just it never happened. And I don't think it's happening right now, but I do think he is one of the huge beneficiaries from a Denton ball. He's pitching in a great ballpark, in a really great division, even though he doesn't get to face his own team. But this is gonna blow up at some
point. Yeah. Like, it's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. That being said, like, Seattle's offense sucks. Yep. Oakland's offense sucks. Like, you and like that park is great to pitch in. There are other really crappy teams in the American League. I picked him up 2 weeks ago, I think, in both my main events for his two-start week, and I'm just holding on to him. Like, yeah, the shoe is going to drop at some point, but I'm hoping to bank as much goodness as I can before then. He's done a great job. He has not allowed a home run this year. The command has been better. Like I said, I don't think it's not going to stick, but ride it. You know, sometimes you just got to ride a hot streak when it doesn't make sense. And then first sign of trouble, you just jump off.
Yeah, it's been wild, but yeah, buckle up, see what happens, roll with it. But so far, so good. Let's talk next man up on the list, Nick Pivetta. He's also had in 114 leagues, as high as 88, as low as $1. It's a guy I drafted everywhere this year, dropped him a couple weeks later, picked him up again everywhere. I made the same comment when I dropped him. I'm like, I know I'm going to end up picking him up again. I know I am. I just can't roster him right now because he's a disaster, and he has proven that correct, as he's coming off, you know, three straight starts of one run or less, six innings or more, eight or more Ks in two or three starts. Houston and the White Sox were those 8K performances, 4.22 ERA, 3.75 xFIP. And what I love to see is a swinging strike rate over 11%. So he's getting guys fooled. 15.5% K to walk, not horrible, not bad. So things are improving for the positive on Nick Pivetta. What's your thoughts on one Phil Dussault's next this year's Robbie Ray, Nick Pivetta?
He was another guy I picked up in one of my main events. Someone dropped him after kind of a slow start. And I just was like, oh, he's got a two-start coming up. I'm just going to stream him for now, and I'm just holding on to him. Nick Pivetta is fantasy baseball's Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. Like, it's like, I mean, every year there is a Nick Pivetta breakout article, a Nick Pivetta sleeper article by, you know, people in the industry. And we always fall for it. He always crushes our hopes and dreams. I'm sure he will again. He's looked fantastic, though. Like, I mean, I said, I had him on my team but I didn't start him this week against the Astros. He goes out and like he pitched a complete game shutout. Like that was where he was actually really dominant. He's done a really, really good job of pitch mixing this year, or in sequencing this year. Could it stick around? Like we've always thought the talent was there. It was just a matter of could he keep the ball in the yard. I think he is a guy like Martin Perez who's benefiting from this deadened ball. So I do think as things start to warm up in the summer, he's going to run into some problems. But I think you just roll with him for now and just kind of hope that you don't get hit with a 3 or 4 homer game.
And you know what's fun about what we've been talking about here? Martin Perez and Nick Pivetta both shut out the Houston Astros. Of all teams, the Houston Astros, who also put up like 18 against Boston the other night when Nate Eovaldi started or whatever. Like it's baseball, baby. Baseball. So much fun. All right, next up on the list here, Cole Calhoun. This is like a blast from the past episode. 106 leagues, as high as 77, as low as a dollar. Over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting all but one game, hitting 372 with 5 home runs, but he's also striking out nearly 33% of the time. So literally all or nothing, it seems like, with Cole Calhoun, but they're playing him versus lefties. They're playing him versus righties. I guess while he's playing every day, hitting fifth most of the time in that Rangers lineup, he becomes very viable in fantasy. But just, again, like the other stuff we've talked about, I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop with Cole Calhoun. But how are you viewing him? Just kind of run him while he's hot?
This shoe's going to drop a lot faster, I think, than the other ones. His zone contact right now is 74%. League average is around 85%.
Not going to cut it.
He's swinging outside the zone 36% of the time. His swinging strike rate on the season is 19%. this is not going to stick around. It was fun. Like if you streamed him because you needed an outfielder or something, I think Scott Jensted said like he did that in a league. You got a bunch of home runs this last week, but I'd honestly be considering like benching him this week because there's no way it continues. Like the underlying skills are atrocious. This is just an amazing hot streak that is going to hopefully he rubs whatever magic fairy dust on off of him onto Marcus Semien and we get some love there.
He'll need that for sure. Yeah, no, he's basically doing the whole spray and pray method. That's what Cole Calhoun's doing right now. I'm just waiting for there's gonna be a bunch of golden sombreros coming his way pretty soon.
Absolutely.
So buckle up for that one, folks. Clay Holmes, this is a fun one. This has been a fun topic on the Twitter here, and I can't wait to get your thoughts here. But he was added in 99 leagues, as high as 364, as low as 15. Technically, he's not the closer yet in New York. People like him. He's got 2 straight saves. Chapman's a little banged up, not been the most consistent. But I'll say this much. Chapman does this every year where he has a couple bad runs. He still gets to be the closer and gets 30-plus saves. I don't know about you, Justin. Are you thinking Chapman's days are over? He might go on the IL, they said. That might happen here. But are you thinking this is really a changing of the guard like so many think it is? Because if so, it's worth the dollars. If not, this could be a very expensive setup, man. I lean the latter, if that helps at all.
I don't think that there is a changing of the guard unless Chapman's actually really hurt. Hurt long term. Yes, they said he was getting treatment on his Achilles, but typically like Achilles injuries, what we're worried about is a torn Achilles, right?
Yeah.
That's clearly not what this is because you don't get surgery, you don't have treatment. Yeah, you don't get treatment. So, and if there's a discussion on whether he's going to go on the IL, it means he could potentially not, which means he's probably not seriously hurt. I think you have to pick up Clay Holmes where you can because the Yankees are playing like the best team in baseball right now. And you want the closer on the best team in baseball. So I think you take the gamble, especially if you have Chapman on your team, you need to be aggressive and go get Clay Holmes because Clay Holmes, with Chad Green done for the year with Tommy John, he seems like he is likely the next man up. And the skills are outrageous. Clay Holmes has been fantastic. So has Michael King as well. But I don't I know it's his last year of his contract for Chapman. I know the skills weren't what they used to be, but managers always go with the guy that brought them to the dance. defense.
Yep.
And I feel like unless he's truly atrocious, they're going to go with the guy that bring that, that has brought them to the dance. And that's Chapman. So, yeah. So, yes. Do I think there's a change in guard? I don't. But I still think you should be aggressive on Clay Holmes just in case they're an injury or, you know, maybe Chapman is done. Maybe you can only throw 103 so many times.
Yeah, he could be. He's given up runs in five straight outings, but prior to that, no runs the entire season in like over 10 outings. Still 15 Ks and 14 innings pitched. 10 walks is concerning with Chapman. He does look rough. There's no hiding that, but I'm with you. I think as long as he can pitch, he's going to be the closer. That's what he's there for. Holmes is going to get his, though, like you said. They're the best team in baseball. We've seen it with the Dodgers in years past. We've even seen it with the Yankees and other teams. They'll still be a guy that walks away with 10-plus saves. So if you can, if you want the ratios, the strikeouts, and the occasional save, rock him. Go for it. Like, so I'm with you. I think he's worth an ad. But when I see, like, $364, I would love to have that conversation with someone. Like, that's why I love talking about the prices here, because I want to wrap my head around what's going down there. But, hey, maybe you were really in need of something and you got some insider info. I don't know. But maybe he becomes the guy. He's filthy. He's filthy. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. And I mean, plus, in years past, you know, like Boone, if Chapman wasn't there, he used like two dudes, a lefty and a righty, more often than I felt like. But like a Britton and a Green or something.
Clearly, the Yankees are a playoff team. Like, and yeah. I feel stupid for having said they weren't going to make the playoffs this year. But if, let's say a Chapman is going to be out for an extended period of time, or let's just say he's just not good. Aren't the Yankees like a prime candidate to go get a closer at the deadline?
That would make sense as well. Yes, definitely would make sense. So,
like, yes, the bullpen is their strength. They have other guys, but like, where else are they going to make improvements?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I think that, you know, maybe a catcher, you know,
speaking of which, Gary Sanchez looks good right now.
Yeah. He just need to get away from the art.
Yep, he looks pretty good right now.
You know, but like, why wouldn't they call the Cubs and be like, hey, give us Wilson Contreras and David Robertson?
No, 100%. Like, yeah.
You know,
and we'll give you Chapman and someone else. Like, they have no problem doing that. They've done it before. They traded him Chapman before. That's how they got Glaber.
So. I don't think the Cubs are going back. I think the Cubs are like, nah. Give us some sort of, like, you know, prospect.
Exactly. Get. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. I think something could easily be in the mix there. Get some more bullpen depth and see where it goes. So Holmes is good. I just want to have the discussion for those because I understand some of the, like, hey, he's really good. He's going to close. At the same time, I don't see how you guys are pushing Chapman out so easily. I just don't quite see it just yet. Jeffrey Springs, this is one guy Toby picked up everywhere last week. He was all ahead of the curve here because that's what Toby does. But this past week picked up in 83 leagues, as high as 139, as low as a dollar, as the Yankees this week. But better matchups to come. Two really solid starts this past week. We've seen some ups and downs. They're stretching him out, which is good to see with Jeffrey Springs. So I put in some smaller bids on him. Were you interested in what Jeffrey Springs can bring to your team?
Yeah, I put some smaller bids. I didn't get him anywhere. I think he's an interesting guy. I just there's so many other guys who had really interesting two starts this week that I ended up prioritizing. Like, though it looks stupid now, I did pick up Zach Davies in a league, which I hadn't, but
should have ghosted him.
I haven't seen a lot of Springs yet, and so maybe that colors a little bit of why I wasn't as excited to go after him. I think he's an interesting player, but I don't know. Just doesn't. Why was Toby so excited? Like,
he liked the two starts last week. He likes the pitch mix, the strikeout upside. I made him give like a long definition of it because he wasn't a topic on the most added players last week, but Toby kept mentioning his ad drops. He kept adding Jeffrey. So I'm like, okay, you have the floor. Tell me about this. Like, what do you, cause the same thing. Why were you into this? The two starts, pitch mix, the Rays system scared me. Cause you know, they'll play.
That's always, yeah, that's the problem with the Rays is, and like, yeah, I mean, he was great against Baltimore. But that's Baltimore. Like, yeah. he was fine versus Toronto. Like, you know, 4 2/3, 2 strikeouts. You know, but I don't even know who he is yet because, yeah. Like, you know, in the game against Baltimore, he strikes everybody out, but he also walks everybody. Game against Toronto, he doesn't strike anybody out, but doesn't walk anybody. Like, I don't quite know who he is yet, and so like I hate to invest highly in guys where I'm still kind of certain about what their profile is going to end up being.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're on the same page there. We'll see if it's another one Toby just gets right for the entire season. So we'll have to wait and see. Welcome back, Matt Barnes. Apparently, people are thirsty for potential saves. He's added in 82 leagues, as high as 111, as low as a dollar. Picked up a save on Saturday. He's pitched pretty well in his recent outings. It's just a messy situation in Boston. It's Hansel one night, it's Barnes. They have a lot of options back there. But I guess people were thinking Barnes is the guy. How are you approaching Barnes in that Boston situation?
I don't know. I mean, Hansel's the guy who came in the next night. He did blow the save the next night. I think if Boston had exactly what they wanted, Barnes would be the guy. Like, if Barnes pitches well, I think he will be the guy, because I think they want to try to flip him. But he has looked so bad for so long that I don't care. I would rather have Jorge Lopez or guys like that, where it's like, you know, I kind of know what I'm getting at least, as opposed to, you know, a guy who might get 50% of the saves and torch my ratios. Give me a guy who's going to give me 100% of the saves and torch my ratios.
I'm with you there. 100%. Give me Daniel Bard. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like the Cincinnati situation. Art Warren's interesting. Alexis Diaz is interesting. But I don't want, yes, Boston had an amazing week this week too, right? Trevor Story woke up and was like, oh, I'm still an elite player. Let me show you guys real quick. But Boston's not good.
No.
And so if I'm rostering a reliever on a bad team, I want to be damn sure he's the guy. And I don't feel that way about Barnes.
Yeah. I'm with you. I drafted Barnes in a lot of leagues early, cause he's kind of late third reliever option. I dropped him everywhere since then, and I don't really feel like picking him back up. So it's just one of those. I told some guys, I think it was Ryan Roof when I had him on, I said, I wouldn't be shocked if Barnes leads their team and saves. I'm just not going through the hassle of it. Just not doing it. I'd rather take chances with Daniel Bard, Lopez. I'd rather gamble if I want a 50-50 guy with, you mentioned Jorge Lopez. Give me Felix Bautista. At least his ratios will be good. Give me some strikeouts. Go get Danny Jimenez from Oakland. Go do something like that and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a messy, messy situation. I guess the moral of the story is pay for saves. I don't know.
Pay for saves. This is exactly why we pay for saves. So you don't have to play in this game. Know everybody's oh, but you paid for Chapman. But Chapman's still the guy, right?
He still has 9 saves.
Yeah. Tell me an elite closer that we paid up for. Hendricks hasn't even been good, but he's still getting a ton of saves. This is why you're supposed to pay for saves.
Agreed. Johnny VR season, folks. This is what I've been waiting for. A lot of us have been waiting for is once the injuries happen, Johnny VR gets to play. If you look at his profile, dude plays 120 to 130 games every season, gets you double digit homers, double digit steals. It's like clockwork. And here's his chance. Picked up in 81 leagues, as high as $74, as low as a buck. Got 2 steals and a homer last week. Already got a steal tonight as we record. This is what Johnny VR does, folks. As long as he can get on the field, he will do it in an ugly fashion, but he'll produce fantasy goodness for you. So I love Johnny VR. I picked him up and I drafted him in Barf. I'm a big VR guy. So what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I'm a big VR guy too. I've got him in just a ton of leagues. And I didn't drop him. I just have been holding on, kind of waiting. He's multi-position eligible, which is always huge, especially in the deeper leagues that I tend to like to play. It's going to be ugly, but the end of the season line is going to be hey, I got some value from that. And there's always the chance he has the Baltimore type season where he just completely goes off. We know that there is enough power that plays in that bat, but just a crap ton of speed. I feel like he should be rostered in every league, even 10 teamers, just because the speed upside is so great.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's a points league dream as well. There's a lot to like with Johnny VR. And the fun part is they're not really hitting towards the top yet either. And that can keep changing because Suzuki's slumping a lot. And, Ortega. So just wait till they get really creative with him and put him in front of the big boys. We could have some fun there on the south side. James Kaprielian added in 73 leagues, as high as 56, as low as a dollar. He's five or more innings and three straight starts, two and runs or less, six or more Ks and two or three. I did the back and forth with Cabrillion last year. Like, there's a lot of good. There's going to be some headaches. This is what he does. Pitching in Oco is huge. Division we've talked about. I wasn't in on him this week, but what's your thoughts on Cabrillion? He looks like he's healthy right now, at least, which is a good start.
Yeah, I mean, I think health is the big issue with him. I mean, he's a guy who missed a ton of time coming up through the minor leagues with elbow issues. So you're always just a little bit scared of a guy like that. He's a guy that does a good job at limiting hard contact. I'd love to see another level on strikeouts for me. But I don't think it's coming. He's got a 10% swing and strike rate. I think this is probably who he is. And I think he gets helped out by pitching in Oakland, which is great because he's going to continue to pitch in Oakland. And like I said before, there's some bottom feeder teams in that division, even not getting to pitch against his own team. You know, Texas is not a good offense. Seattle's not a good offense. I think there are going to be ups and downs. He's a young guy that's still learning how to sequence properly. We saw, he struggled with command, gave up two home runs the other night. But I do think there is some staying power, especially in Oakland. There's no reason for him to get demoted out of that rotation. I'm not super excited, but I think he'll be a serviceable glue guy, right? You know, middle of your rotation. I don't think he's taken a massive step forward this year.
Yeah, he's a good streamer from time to time. He's not a guy I'm in love with. But like I said, I played the ups and downs with him last year, and you can definitely do that from time to time. He's a good one if you, I talk about a lot, look for the following week's matchups, get him cheap the week before. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy for that. Don't break the bank on him. Spend a couple bucks. Plan ahead. He'll help you more often than you think. Ronzi Contreras of the Pittsburgh Pirates is getting the call. Picked up in 67 leagues, as high as 164, as low as a dollar. If you like strikeouts, turn on your TV when he pitches. A 30% plus K rate majority of the time throughout his minors and even this year in the bigs. Walks can be an issue from time to time, but the dude is just filthy. Longevity could be an issue. We'll see how long he can go in games, but so far so good. Justin, what are your thoughts on Contreras?
What I just said with Cabrillion, it's the opposite, right? Cabrillion's not only going to be a star, Ronzi could be an absolute star. He strikes out everyone he faces. In just 7 2/3 innings in the majors, he had 10 strikeouts. He's working out of the bullpen. They sent him back down to stretch him out. People got really upset, as they should have, because they were stretching him out while he was in the majors. Why couldn't they just continue to do that? But they play the service time games. We understand why. I think he has legit top of, a rotation, top of, an SP2 probably upside. Does he get there this year? Probably not. Like you said, control can be an issue. Sometimes he has a hard time hitting the zone. Command can be an issue too. It's, kind of harnessing all that stuff, right? So he'll probably give up some home runs, especially as things start to heat up in, places around the East Coast where he's going to be pitching. But Pittsburgh is a fantastic park to pitch in. The division has a lot of, a lot of bottom feeder teams, Cincinnati, right? Chicago. I think he could be really, really interesting. I wish I had been able to get him in any leagues, but he was not available in any leagues I was in this week. So, if he's still available in your league, he's supposed to start tomorrow. I think you try to go get him and try to be aggressive, because I don't know of that many pitching prospects, especially with Max Meyer dealing with the elbow issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's that many pitching prospects coming up that are going to be huge difference makers, other than Grayson Rodriguez, right? And maybe teammate Dia Hall, right? But he's here now. And with them running out guys like Bryce Wilson in that rotation, there's no reason he should leave that rotation rest of the way.
Let's give a percentage. How aggressive would you be on him if he's still out there?
I think I would go 20% of my remaining FAB if I needed pitching. Sure.
That's fair.
I'd hope I wouldn't have to, but I can understand doing that.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll go over a few more here. William Contreras, brother of Wilson Contreras, picked up in 59 leagues, as high as 58, as low as a dollar. I got him for a buck. Went 2-for-3 with a 2-for-4 with a double on Monday as he hit second and played left field for the Braves, which is music to my ears. If he's going to keep playing the outfield now, he's DH'd a couple games. He has 6 home runs already in the season while he's hitting 242. This could just be a figment of, you know, playing time because of injuries, but they're trying to find ways to get his bat in the lineup, which makes my fantasy heart filled with joy. So what's your thoughts on William Contreras, who we saw from time to time last year was productive, but there's also some slumps to be had with that bat?
Yeah, and they're gonna be slumps with him. Like, that's just like, what's great is that he's dropped his strikeout rate. Like, he was a 30% strikeout guy in the majors last year, and it's down under 25% right now. I think it'll probably get back up above 25%, maybe, you know, closing in on 30. But there's legit power in this bat. I mean, this guy was, you know, kind of thought of the same way his brother was thought of, as a catching prospect. Clearly, he's not very good behind the plate, but the bat should play. The beauty of it is, in most of your leagues, he's still catcher eligible,
yep,
which is amazing. You want a guy who is catcher eligible that is playing, you know, every day or close to every day. You know, here's the thing about Atlanta. It's such a weird organization. Yep. You know, they just won a World Series. Like, I mean, I shouldn't be bagging on them, but like, how many bad defensive players do you want in that outfield? Like, you have to play Ozuna, right? Like, yep. You know, do you really want him out there too? Like, he's gotten better. Like, I watched him a little bit earlier this season playing defense, and I was actually surprised. Like, he moves around pretty decent out there for a catcher, but he's still a catcher. Yeah. And I don't know what the hell they're doing in this lineup. They're batting him second, batting Ozzie Albies sixth. Yeah. Like, I don't get it, but I think you got to go get him, especially if you're in a two catcher format. He's catcher eligible. Like, he could be a league winner type player if he is going to play every day and you're getting catcher eligibility. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I wasn't expecting the outfield move today, but that just made me even more excited about the potential in that bat. I was like, just play 4 or 5 days a week and I'll be pumped in a two catcher league. And now he might play more. So I'm all aboard that train. Dane Dunning, big two step this week. He was added in 59 leagues, as high as $51. Been strong this year. He's made 8 starts, 3 earned runs or less than 7 of those 8 starts, 5 or more K in 6 of those starts, 3.92 ERA, 3.78 FIP. And he's got 23.5% K rate. Walks a little bit of an issue, but overall, Dunning's looking pretty good. Kind of the prospect everyone hoped he would be at one point in time. And he's doing it against big teams too, which is fun to watch. So what's your thoughts on Dane Dunning?
I love Dane Dunning. I mean, I was a huge fan of Dane Dunning and that trade, you know, the trade for Lance Lynn. Like, people were like, oh, this is an awful trade for Texas. Like, you know what? I don't think it's going to end up being. Dunning doesn't profile as like a fantasy stud pitcher, but he could like legitimately be, I don't know, like a little bit lesser version of Lance Lynn as a major league pitcher, like a guy who can really eat innings. He's not going to get a ton of strikeouts like on a like key per nine basis. But if he's going deep into games like he is, and this is where the growth is. Last year, he had moments where he flashed like what kind of pitcher he could be. But the Rangers were really, really careful about not letting him go deep into games. This year, they said, you know, gloves are off, kid. It's time for you to show. And he's showing himself to be like very much a workhorse for them. You know, he in some ways reminds me of a little bit of Matt Cain, a guy who like is a little bit underrated because he doesn't get huge strikeout numbers. But you'll look at the strikeout numbers at the end of the season and go, oh, shoot, 160 something strikeouts from this guy. Like, I'll take that. Right. So, yeah, he's like an SP4, SP5, but like a pretty decent one. Pitches in a great ballpark. Again, fodder for your teams. Keep talking about the AL West. Like, there's some really bad teams in that division. So, yeah, I like Dane Dunning a lot.
Yep, I'm with you. A lot of Dane Dunning on my squads between redraft and DCs. Lots of Dane Dunning. Like what we're seeing with him. Aaron Ashby, we talked about him earlier, added in 57 leagues as high as 117. Probably going to fill in a bit here for Peralta. But he's only thrown more than 4 innings once this year, so keep that in mind. But the strikeout stuff's legit. They're obviously going to stretch him out. Like, don't worry about that. But eventually there'll be an innings limit. But enjoy it while you can. Like, enjoy what you got. But I was a guy, like, people were hyped in draft season on Ashby. I pretty much avoided because I had a lot of questions on what would go down. Where are you on Ashby right now?
I did not draft him anywhere because I did not believe that he was going to be a guy that was in the rotation, at least to start the season. And I kind of worried a little bit about the role is. But what I've been doing is every time someone drops Aaron Ashby, I pick him up. Because I love the skills. The skills are fantastic. And if they can stretch him out, I think he could be a really, really like dominant starter. I still worry about what the role is. Like, you know, every time he goes four innings in a game, you're like, okay, one more inning and you get to five, one more inning. Then the next time he comes in as a reliever and throws an inning, like it's super, super frustrating. I think the Peralta news is huge for him because I do think that they have to give him now a chance to, you know, start and actually stretch out a little bit. So I am cautiously optimistic. And it's easy to be cautiously optimistic when a guy's ceiling is so high.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll give him a shot if you can. I just wasn't going to pay a lot for him. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a definite talent there to be seen.
Yep.
Christian Walker added in 56 leagues, as high as 117, as low as $2. His 11th home run of the season tonight. He's hitting 201 on the season, but over the last couple of weeks, hitting 273 with five of those home runs, walking over 15% of the time, striking out around 18% of the time. So big time improvements over the last couple of weeks. The contact rates are insane, like the hard hit rates, the barrel rates. The dude's awesome. He's trolling me because I drafted him everywhere last year as a corner infielder, and he could not hit the broadside of a barn. And now he's doing what I was hoping he would do. I would try to grab him everywhere he could, personally. That's just my two cents. But what's your thoughts on Christian Walker?
We talked about him on Sunday on the Sleeper and the Buzz, and I was actually honestly really surprised how available he was.
Yep.
He was available in my TGFBI league this week. And I got Gorman, but I didn't get him. I'm a little bummed about that. I was outbid by like $15 or something like that, and which I just gone the extra 20 to make sure I got him. But, not only is he, hitting for power, that batting average is coming. His XBA is like 276.
Yeah.
Like, you know, his zone contact right now, 88.5%. For a power hitter, that is fantastic. He's doing everything. He looks like the vintage version of himself.
Yep.
And now Mark Canna goes deep.
Yeah. Damn, McNeil and Canna back-to-back.
Jesus. Christian Walker, I am shocked he is not picked up. Like, he's still available in, like, 50% of CBS leagues, like, yep. Which are, you know, cater to 12 teamers. So, I mean, he's probably more widely available at ESPN and Yahoo. Like, you have to be picking him up if he's available in your league. Yes, the 200 batting average sucks, but he's gotten really unlucky on balls in play. Yep. I think he's going to be fine. Rest of the way, could hit like 260 with probably another 20 home runs. Like, Christian Walker, 30 home run season's coming.
Yeah, that D-backs team as a whole is swinging well. Peralta's swinging it well. Marte might be heating back up again. Rojas had the big home run game with the wind blowing out in Wrigley. Varsho's been playing great. Like, that team's been sneaky entertaining, which is not fun for Giants fans. Last one we'll mention here, Zach Eflin added in 53 leagues, as high as $93, as low as $1. Coming off 7 innings, 2 earned 12 Ks against the Dodgers. 2 runs less than 3 of his last 4 starts. It's the Eflin experience. Like, he's got really – he's kind of a lot like Pivetta to me. He's got a lot of good in him. A lot of just makes you want to bang your head against the wall. But there's a lot of good chatter on Twitter about him today. So what's your thoughts on Zach Eflin, a guy that I just seem to never get right?
This is a hard one because this feels a lot like Pivetta, like you were just saying. And the whole, like, hey, am I kicking the football? Am I going to fall on my ass with Eflin? He's getting strikeouts, which is not so, you know, he looks like what we saw in 2020 in that shortened season where everybody was like, ooh, it's the Eflin breakout. It's the Eflin breakout. He looks like that. Can he keep it up over the course of a full season? I don't know. The changeup has been really, really good. If it continues to be good, I think then he can continue to be good. He gave up 2 home runs. Both of his earned runs yesterday were 2 home runs. And they were just location mistakes, but he went 7 against the Dodgers. Like, it struck out 12. Like, that's impressive as hell. I think as things heat up in Philadelphia, the home runs may continue to be a problem, but If he's getting the strikeouts, I can kind of survive that a little bit. He's not walking guys either as much. So I'm cautiously buying in on Zach Eflin, another guy I picked up off the waiver wire in a couple leagues a few weeks ago when he was coming back off the IL. And I'm going to ride it for now. But, like, yeah, this definitely has the Pivetta, you know, Charlie kicking the football kind of feel to it. And we definitely could get burned again, especially pitching in Philadelphia.
He's one of those guys, like, I like to remind people, if you're playing like Roto, you need to almost play him every start to get the final numbers, because if you try to pick your poisons, he's going to have like two good starts and then just get destroyed. And it'll be against a team you don't expect him to be. Like, he just dealt against the Dodgers, and then, like, you know, the Orioles will play in an interleague game and they'll score 12 against him or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a headache, but in the end he'll have like a low 4, high 3 ERA, and he'll get, so it's just one of those, and it's tough to do because you're not going to do it, but some of those Roto ones, you just kind of have to keep it in a vacuum type situation, and it's not easy, but he will have his moments to shine. There's no doubt about that. But all right, Justin, we'll wrap things up there, my friend. Before we head on out of here again, why don't you remind everybody where they can find you and all the good stuff that you're up to these days.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. I'm on Sleeper in the Bus, TGFBI podcast, and the Friends Fantasy Benefits podcast. And I write daily over at Fangraphs, occasionally write over Friends Fantasy Benefits as well. So, yeah, that's it, man. I'm not as busy as you are nowadays.
No, we're still both plenty busy. Let's not worry about that. But it's got to keep up with you. Got to keep up with you. That's my goal. But I appreciate you joining me, my friend. Always, always fun chatting it up with you.
Hey, man, anytime. You know, if Toby leaves, feel free to give me a call.
Bubba and the beard will be a thing. Don't you worry.
Yeah, let's do this.
I'll grow mine back out. Don't you worry. We'll make it happen. But for now, we'll wrap it up there, folks. Justin, thanks for joining me. Everybody, check him out on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 474. Catch you guys later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.